Betty LeVette has had a career that spanned nearly half a century, but she's only getting better and better known.
In the beginning, I misunderstood, but now I've got it. The word is good.
Her voice and her way with the song has been called soulful, emotive. And can we say this over breakfast? Sexy. She's sung on Broadway, she's been nominated for a Grammy, she's performed for President Obama, and on her latest album, Betty LeVette reinterprets songs by the likes of Led Zeppelin, The Beatles, Pink Floyd, and Sir Elton John. It's called Interpretations, the British Rock Songbook.
It's a word they call love. Yeah, it's a word they call love.
Betty LeVette joined us in our studio. So good to have you with us.
Hi, Scott. It's so good to be here with you, baby.
Thanks, Ram.
Especially the pants.
Especially the pants. I'm wearing a pair of pinstripe pants, which will be lost on her. Maybe our audience, who's very discerning, can tell by my voice.
You see.
They claim to be able to recognize all kinds of things. I want to talk about your voice, okay? What an extraordinary instrument your voice is. Now, where would the quote from, or what quote came from you? That you're more Wilson Pickett than Dionne Warwick?
No, I think that's probably true. And as I've gotten older, I actually am even more Wilson Pickett because my voice has gotten stronger, fortunately. I think that when my first recording was released in 1962, being 16 years old, having a record called My Man, people didn't know exactly what to do with me. I was cute, I was little, I was young.
We conveniently have a copy of My Man.
He's Stop it!
Man. We do, yeah.
Well, at
right?
the time, I sounded like Minnie Mouse, but...
we'll be the judge of that, okay? Let's listen to Minnie Mouse. Betty LeVette.
See?
I haven't heard it yet. Let me try it. My man.
My man, he's a whole lot of man. His friends try to tell him to do wrong things. He lets them know that he's a one-woman man. My man, he's a loving man.
You did not sound like Minnie Mouse.
Suggestive Minnie Mouse.
Suggestive Minnie Mouse. Minnie Mouse never sounded like that. When did you first realize that you had a voice that could fill up a place and
reach
people?
Oh, no, Scott. It was not a realization. It was a manager called Jim Lewis, uh-huh. whom I was fortunate enough to acquire it in 1967. Jim Lewis immediately told me, "You're really cute, but this little stuff is not going to work." And I was like, "But I have a record in the charts." He said, "But it's not a very good record, and it's not going to sustain you for 50 years. You will either have to keep selling them, or you'll have to learn to be a good entertainer." And that was what he trained me to be, a very good entertainer. So when I record now, I don't imagine them being big records. I imagine myself singing them on stage.
Let's play a little bit of a song from this new album. And this is your cover of the Rolling Stones' Salt of the Earth.
I want to drink to the hard-working people. Let's drink to the lowly of birth. I want to raise my glass to the good and the evil. Let's drink to the salt of the earth.
This is music as a young woman in Detroit that you did not grow up with, right?
Oh, no. I started in 1962, Scott, and there was black radio and white radio. And while these artists from Britain especially were aspiring to be black artists or do cover that music.
They loved the music.
They loved
the
music.
Over there and they loved it.
We never heard it on black radio. And they never heard us on white radio. It was a completely segregated thing.
When I look into the faceless crowd, ooh, a swirling mass of grays, black and white, they don't even look real to me. So strange, right?
The Brit rock musicians were sometimes accused of stealing the music of African Americans and you know, making in some cases obviously a lot of money with it. As you heard these songs, was there more to their imitation being the sincerest form of flattery than that? Did they bring something special to these songs?
That's a funny question, because if it had not been for these people, many of these songs would never have been heard.
Yeah.
I think it's more the industry, and I've always said that. So I don't think that any of the Beatles or any of Led Zeppelin or anybody came and said, like, hey, let's steal this song. And I think the industry said, we'll play this by them, and we won't play it by Little Richard.
I think B.B. King, he may have even said it on our show, or I think he said it a lot over the years. He's always said that, oh, my God, he said, I love Mick and Keith and Eric. He said, I never really made any real money until they started.
Absolutely. I've talked to too many broke black artists that I know who said, man, if this guy hadn't done my song, I would never have made any money. And I hate him. I've not talked to any black artists who have said that.
Let's play another clip from a song.
Okay.
In this album. Richard Starkey, better known obviously as Ringo Starr. I think the biggest hit he ever had as a vocalist. In classic British rock, It Don't Come Easy.
If you want to sing the blues, you got to pay some dues. Because it ain't coming easy. You don't have the shout or thrash all about. You can take it real easy. Forget about the past and all your sorrows.
Did you ever hear Ringo's version and say, underneath all that, there's a song I want to do, or what happened?
Well, you know what? It's not underneath all that. When you hear a song that you like, Scott, you go and buy it. Mm-hmm. When I hear a song I like, I sing it. It's the exact same reaction. It's just that you do what you can do about it, and I do what I can do about liking it. And my liking it is singing it. But you hear a groove you like, you hear a melody you like, it stays in your head. And with me, since I don't write or produce or anything, when I hear a melody in my head, I really go back to the original song.
Now that you've reinterpreted British rock, what's next? Tuba throat singing?
Oh, stop it.
Okay, I'll mark that down as a no, okay, or maybe.
You know, we've got to see what's going to happen with this interpretation things, the British songbook. Hopefully this will be accepted. You know, I'm still fighting you guys. You're one of the good guys, but I still got this other group I got to fight who, like, how dare you do a Led Zeppelin song?
Well, I invite them to listen for themselves. Betty, so nice to talk to you. Thanks so
much.
Oh,
it's so nice to talk to you, Scott. Thanks for talking to me.
At last I've got it straight. My hand is to the loom. Is this the end or just the beginning? All of my love, all of my love, all of my love to you. All of my love.
You can hear Betty Levette's album streaming in its entirety. Watch a video of her performing It Don't Come Easy in our offices at nprmusic.org. And this is NPR's Weekend Edition, directed by Ned Wharton, produced by Elaine Heinzman, Kimberly Adams, Thomas Pierce, Walter Ray Watson, Veronica Miller, and Gemma Waters, our technical director. Didn't he do a great job today? He always does. Burke Hunt. Our librarian is Kim Oleski. Melissa Goes, our web producer. Our show was produced today by Peter Breslow and edited by Antonio Marcano. Andrew Watts and Sonia Harris put the pizzazz into information technology around here. Our senior editor is Jenny Burgle, and the senior producer of Weekend Edition is Bridget Kelly. I'm Scott Simon.
Yours is a cloth, mine is a hand that sews a tie. Hers is the force that lies within.